Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, September 26th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, MDC approves additional funds for Bass Pro Shops. Incentive increase heads to Midland City Council for approval. By Mella McEwen, business editor. Members of the board of the Midland Development Corporation quickly agreed Monday to increase its part of an incentive package for Bass Pro Shops from $5 million to $5.5 million. This past spring, board members approved the $5 million when C. Hodges Development Services first announced plans for an entertainment retail complex at State Highway 191 and State Highway 158, which would include Bass Pro Shops, and fund construction of two new roads, an east-west extension of Sinclair Avenue and a new north-south road, both of which would be turned over to the city. The additional $500,000 will be used to fund additional infrastructure, drainage, and site work. Chase Gardoff, chairman of the board, told the Reporter-Telegram, agreeing to the additional funds had the support of the board because the new roads, drainage, and other work would be beneficial to the whole region rather than being site-specific. Board member Lorsey Sams moved to approve additional funds, stipulating that the wording of the motion authorizing the increase be changed to read, quote, "such agreement shall become effective when approved by the Midland City Council," unquote. Sams explained he wanted the language changed in order to expedite approval of the restructure incentive package. Midland Development Corporation Executive Director Sarah Harris stated this weekend that the initial $5 million from the MDC was designated for reimbursement of construction costs for the city-owned streets to serve the site owned by Bass Pro, as well as all surrounding residential and commercial development. It is anticipated that these streets will accelerate development westward along the State Highway 191 corridor. Harris added, the additional $500,000 could be used for reimbursement for site work and drainage that would serve the Bass Pro site as well as surrounding developments. The Midland City Council still must approve the MDC agreement and the following other terms, including increasing the 50% sales tax rebate from 7 years to 10 years, adding a $250,000 payment over 10 years from the city's hotel-motel fund, providing a 100% city property tax abatement for 10 years. The current agreement calls for a 100% abatement for years 1 and 2, 80% abatement for years 3 and 4, 60% abatement for years 5 and 6, 40% abatement for years 7 and 8, and a 20% abatement for years 9 and 10. The Midland City Council will meet at 10 a.m. Tuesday inside Council Chamber at Midland City Hall. This article is entitled, City. Firehawk testing won't impact water sources. By Stuart Doreen, staff writer. The City of Midland confirmed Monday that potential rocket-powered vehicle testing being proposed on city-owned land in Winkler and Loving counties will not impact Midland's groundwater supplies. The City of Midland has reported that Tuesday's agenda includes authorizing the execution of an agreement between the City of Midland and Firehawk Aerospace, Inc. regarding certain city-owned property. Firehawk will test and fly small rocket-powered vehicles with the aim of evaluating engine performance, the city reported in an agenda packet document. They will be abiding by emission and flight standards upheld by the EPA and the FAA. Total emissions are estimated to be 50% of a heavy diesel truck. Rocket testing will not include any explosive devices. All launches will land under parachute. Utilities Director Carl Crago told the Reporter-Telegram in an email that Firehawk's shared flight path does not traverse any areas where the city's current water wells are located. Instead, it is aligned with what we refer to as the down-dip area of our water source, characterized by a shallow water table with predominantly low-quality water, Crago stated. The city reported that the agreement contains a term of an initial 5 years, with 2 5-year renewals. The annual payment to the City of Midland would be $5,000. Firehawk is an aerospace and defense company headquartered in Addison, the city noted. Firehawk has had a rocket engine test facility on land leased to them by the MDC west of Midland since October 2022. Firehawk is working to develop assets that expand Air Force and Space Force capability, bolster domestic defense production capacity, and provide meaningful, high-skilled jobs. This article is entitled "Devon Expects Less Spending in 24," by David Weth and Alex Steele, Bloomberg. Devon Energy Corporation expects to spend less next year to sustain oil and natural gas output as record oil field inflation begins to abate. Costs for drilling rigs and steel used to line the inside of oil wells have come down recently, Chief Executive Officer Rick Moncrief said during an interview with Bloomberg Television on Monday. Still, tight labor market conditions remain an impediment to growth. "We are addressing the labor in a very thoughtful, proactive way at these levels," Moncrief said in Oklahoma City. "Any increase in activity becomes somewhat problematic. After a 50% hike in oil field costs since 2021, the Permian Basin of West Texas and New Mexico is expected to see average well costs shrink by 9% next year, according to a Citigroup note to investors last week." This article is called BizBuzz. It is entitled "FEM Offers Community for Female Business Owners," by Morgan Taylor Thomas, staff writer. For many Midland business owners, shared frustrations like disagreements with property owners or rude customers can usually be shaken off. But for those business owners who also happen to be women, the disheartenment runs deeper than what the eye can see. Through vent sessions with friends, Lauren Howard learned many women-owned and operated spots around town deal with the same judgments, even if the business models differ. "We often found that the conversation was very dismissive. 'Your little business, your little website,'" Howard explained. "Oftentimes, and especially for girls in the beauty industry, it's even worse. Men don't get that. They aren't told these things." Howard began looking for a group dedicated to supporting the unique struggle. Although already established organizations offered community for women in business, there wasn't one built specifically for business-owning women. So Howard and fellow businesswoman Kimberly Witten decided to solve the problem. Female Entrepreneurs of Midland, or FEM for short, provides a space for Midland women looking to collaborate and bond with like-minded people who also understand the ins and outs of being a female business owner in the Tall City, no matter the industry. Our board consists of somebody in marketing, somebody who owns a boutique, an event marketing planner, a girl who owns a permanent jewelry and spray tanning business, and somebody who does parties for kids, Howard, the president, said. To show the community the possibilities that come with joining FEM, the nonprofit will host a launch party Friday, packed with sparkly cocktails, catering from Cadillac Rose, speeches, swag bags, and lots of pink. We recognize the power women have. We can be everything. We can be wives, we can be mothers, we can be business owners, we can run events, we can do our own business, be successful, and clap for each other. And we can support the community without the catty stigma everybody loves to slap on, Howard stated. Every single woman is so passionate about what she's doing, no matter what it is. Hopefully, the community will see and understand that. Friday's launch party runs from 6 to 9 p.m. at Second Story Coworking, 223 West Wall Street, on the second floor. Entry door is located to the right of Cancun Grill. RSVP at supportfem.com/launch-party. Stay up to date with FEM on socials. Facebook, facebook.com/support.fem. Instagram, instagram.com/support-fem. This article is entitled, Ham Wants End of Roller Coaster U.S. Energy Plans, by David Weth, Bloomberg. Shale billionaire Harold Ham, who has backed several Republican presidential candidates for election in 2024, called for the end of back-and-forth U.S. energy policy that raises costs from one administration to the next. The GOP donor and founder of Continental Resources, Inc., gave his remarks to a small crowd of oil industry executives and political friends gathered in Oklahoma City on the eve of his first-ever American Energy Security Summit, which will include former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley and Goldman Sachs Group, Inc. Chief Executive Officer David Solomon. It's like riding a roller coaster, Ham said of the changes to energy policy over the course of his five-decade-plus career. It's so important that we have an energy policy that's lasting, and somebody can't tinker with it from one administration to the next. Ham told the standing-only-room crowd inside a Bob's Steak and Chop House that there should be a full-on resumption of oil drilling permits on federal lands, reversing the policy of President Joe Biden. Not being able to drill more on federal lands has increased energy costs, he said. When the federal leases were pulled off the table with this latest administration, it took a full year just to modify everybody's drilling plans, Ham said. Everything you planned that you're going to do, if you can't get permits, you have to basically go to Plan B. And Plan B is not a good plan. All of us in this room, we don't need $100 oil. High 80s, that's fine, Ham said, drawing laughter from attendees. This article is called Explainer. It is entitled, High Oil Prices Making Gas More Expensive for Drivers, Helping Russia's War, by David McHugh, Associated Press. Frankfurt, Germany. Oil prices have risen, meaning drivers are paying more for gasoline and truckers and farmers more for diesel. The increase also complicates the global fight against inflation and feeds Russia's war chest. That poses problems for politicians, as well as the people having to spend more to get to work, transport the world's goods, or harvest fields. Here are things to know about the recent increase and where prices might be going. Why have oil prices risen? Above all, Saudi Arabia's decision to cut back how much oil it sends to global markets has pushed prices higher. The world's second largest oil supplier has slashed production by 1 million barrels a day since July, and decided this month to extend the cut through the end of the year. Russia, Saudi Arabia's ally in the OPEC Plus Oil Producers Coalition, has also extended its own cut of 300,000 barrels a month through 2023. Simply, tighter supply means higher prices. International benchmark Brent oil traded at just under $94 per barrel Monday, up from $90 before the extension on September 5th, and from $74 before the Saudi cut was first announced. U.S. oil traded at around $90.50, up from $68 before the Saudi cut. How high could oil prices go? Some analysts think oil could hit $100 a barrel based on robust demand and limited supply. But that's far from the only view. Oil prices can be volatile, and while they might briefly top $100 in the coming months, they're unlikely to stay there, said Jorge Leon, Senior Vice President for Oil Markets at Rystad Energy. He foresees prices in the low 90s on average in the last 3 months of the year. That's still high historically, he said, supported by resilient demand for fuel to drive and fly. The Saudi cuts were a unilateral move outside the framework of the OPEC Plus alliance, meaning the kingdom can make changes as needed to quickly respond to shifting market conditions. Leon said the Saudis will review the cuts each month and could add barrels back if prices spike to levels that could seriously worsen inflation in countries buying oil. I don't think it will be clever for the Saudis to push that hard, Leon said. The last thing you want to do is fuel inflation again with much higher oil prices. That's going to kill economic growth, and lower growth is going to mean lower oil demand at the end of the day. What other factors affect prices? A big question is demand for fuel, which is picking up along with rebounding travel following the depths of the COVID-19 pandemic. A robust U.S. economy increases demand for oil and the price, while weak growth in China and Europe has the opposite effect. We see the upside potential for the oil price as being virtually used up, and if anything, envisage setback potential in view of the weak economy, said Tu Lan Nguyen, Commerce Bank head of commodities research, who foresees oil at $85 per barrel by year's end. The oil price is only likely to climb more lastingly once the economic outlook begins to brighten, which should be the case next year. Another factor is financial speculation, and it appears investors are piling into the oil market with bets that prices will rise. Much of the price surge beyond $85 per barrel is due to a flood of speculative money. While fundamentally, there is still plenty of oil in the world to meet demand for now, said Gary Peach, oil markets analyst at Energy Intelligence. What's the impact on consumers? Costlier oil feeds through to higher prices for gasoline and diesel, especially in the U.S., where roughly half the pump price reflects the cost of crude. The rest is marketing, taxes, and other costs. Crude is a smaller share of gasoline and diesel prices in Europe because fuel taxes are much higher there. Average U.S. pump prices are still well below the record $5 per gallon seen in summer 2022. But at $3.85 per gallon, they're still up 15 cents from a year ago. Oil costs are keeping gas prices high, even as driving demand drops with the end of summer vacations and plentiful gasoline stocks, according to Auto Club AAA. Diesel prices have risen as well, along with higher oil costs, and refineries facing shortages of the specific kinds of crude best for making diesel. Refineries also are choosing to produce jet fuel instead, chasing profits as air travel rebounds. A gallon of diesel cost $4.58 last week, up from $4.34 a month ago. That hurts farmers, who use a lot of diesel, and adds to the price of consumer goods transported by truck, which is pretty much everything. How do higher oil prices help Russia? Oil is Russia's main moneymaker. So higher prices help the Kremlin pay for its invasion of Ukraine and weather sweeping Western sanctions aimed at crushing its wartime economy. The recent rise in oil prices, along with a cutback in the discount that sanctions forced Russia to offer Asian customers, means Moscow will earn significantly more revenue from those exports, said Benjamin Hilgenstock, senior economist at the Kiev School of Economics. The additional revenue could reach an estimated $17 billion this year and $33 billion next year, he said in an online talk hosted by the Brussels-based European Policy Center. This article is entitled "Oxy to Keep Oil Production Steady" by Joe Ryan and Alex Steele, Bloomberg. Occidental Petroleum Corporation plans to keep its production steady, even as oil prices have surged in recent weeks above $90 a barrel. "We don't increase oil significantly in a market where we don't see the balance," Occidental Chief Executive Officer Vicky Haloub said during an interview with Bloomberg Television. "Only in a market where we see balance would we increase our production, and even then it would be at a moderate pace." "Oil producers have learned lessons from past mistakes," Haloub said, "and we'll be careful this time around to not flood the market with crude simply because prices rise." "There is a lot more discipline," she said. "How to do it better and not get into an oversupplied market." Haloub said she hadn't seen evidence of demand destruction yet. Even if oil prices do top $100 a barrel, she doesn't expect them to stay there long enough to start eroding demand. This article, accompanied by a photo, is entitled "Sibley Presents Anwar with West Texan by Nature Honor." Sibley Nature Center presented S. Javed Anwar, second from the right, with the West Texan by Nature Honor on Thursday at the Petroleum Club of Midland. Anwar, a native of Pakistan, was born in Karachi and was raised by a single mother who worked to put her son into private schools so that he could get the best education available in Pakistan. He graduated from the Adamji Science College and then graduated from the University of Wyoming. He worked as a petroleum engineer and as a consultant in Midland, Amarillo, Houston, and Pampa. Anwar married his wife Vicky in 1982, and they have two children, Ryan and Leslie, both of whom are graduates from the University of Texas at Austin. In 1984, Anwar started Midland Energy, Inc., as an operating and production company, and shortly thereafter formed Petroplex Energy, Inc. Photo is courtesy of J.C. Lewis. This article is entitled "September to be one of the warmest on record" by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. The National Weather Service reports that September 2023 is on pace to be one of the warmest Septembers in Midland's history. That follows the summer, which was the second hottest in Midland's history. The NWS showed on Monday that the average temperature this month has been 81.6 degrees, which is 4.6 degrees above average, and second to just 1977, 82.1 degrees, for the warmest September on record. The National Weather Service is calling for highs in the upper 80s to lower 90s this week. There is no rainfall in the NWS's seven-day forecast. Monday's report: Monday's high, 90 degrees. Typical high for September 25th, 85 degrees. Monday's low, 72 degrees. Typical low for September 25th, 62 degrees. Record high for September 25th, 102 degrees in 1977 and 2005. Last 3 days. Saturday, 102 degrees. Sunday, 98 degrees. Monday, 90 degrees. Next 3 days: Tuesday, 89 degrees. Wednesday, 91 degrees. Thursday, 91 degrees. Rainfall this month, 0.90 inch. This year, 2.69 inches. Normal through September 25th, 10.71 inches. This is the Business and Oil page. This article is entitled "Shale CEO: Oil Headed for $150 Without Support for New Drilling," by Kevin Crowley and Alex Steele, Bloomberg. Oil is headed as high as $150 a barrel unless the U.S. government does more to encourage exploration. According to Continental Resources, the shale driller controlled by billionaire Harold Hamm. Crude output in the Permian Basin will one day peak, as it already has in rival shale regions such as the Bakken region of North Dakota and the Eagle Ford in Texas. Continental Chief Executive Officer Doug Lawler said during an interview with Bloomberg TV, "Without new production, you're going to see $120 to $150 oil," he said. "That's going to send a shock through the system," he said. "Without policies encouraging new drilling, you're going to see more pressure on price." Even if oil breaches the $100 mark, Continental has no plans for a burst of output, Lawler said. Benchmark U.S. crude futures have risen 12% this year to more than $90. "We are investing at a very prudent level consistent with our cash flows," Lawler said. "To go and invest and being producing as much as we can is not how we generate the greatest value." This column is called Commentary. It is entitled "How Paxton Verdict Impacts Abbott's Push for School Vouchers," by Gromer Jeffers Jr., The Dallas Morning News. Governor Greg Abbott's push to provide public money for students to attend private schools is a tough sell in Texas. Now, there are more complications. As Abbott plans to bring lawmakers back to Austin for a special session, the issue is ensnared in a Republican family feud that's been exacerbated by Attorney General Ken Paxton's impeachment saga. Earlier this month, the Senate acquitted Paxton on charges brought by the Republican-controlled House, which further strained the relationship between the chamber's top leaders. Before he signed the final judgment clearing Paxton, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick criticized the House for impeaching the Attorney General and promised to audit and overhaul the impeachment process. House Speaker Dade Phelan responded by calling Patrick, who presided over the trial, biased in favor of Paxton. He added that senators who voted to acquit Paxton would have, quote, "much to answer for," unquote, if new facts emerge about Paxton's dealings. Patrick and Phelan have long been at odds, and in a normal cycle, they wouldn't have to deal with each other until the 2025 legislative session. With Abbott expected to call a special session on school choice next month, the relationship between the House and Senate will play a role in whether a voucher-like proposal is approved or fails. It's going to be a huge hangover into the special session, said Republican consultant Matthew Langston. You have the shots taken at each other by the Speaker and Lieutenant Governor, so there appears to be very little to no desire to work together on a solution. We'll see how good the Governor is as an arbiter, since the House and Senate are at odds, Langston said. During this year's regular legislative session, House members opposed a proposal to give families at least $7,500 in education savings accounts to spend on private school tuition. The Senate repeatedly passed out similar bills, only to see them die in the House. Republicans control both chambers, but rural GOP lawmakers who are against vouchers have more power in the House than the Senate. Paxton verdict hangover. There are several scenarios of how the Paxton verdict could impact school choice negotiations. One theory is that House Republicans are looking to mollify hard-right activists who backed Paxton and have vowed retaliation against GOP-elected leaders who supported the Attorney General's impeachment. Allowing a robust school choice plan would provide an olive branch to conservative activists and perhaps convince them to stand down on opposing anti-Paxton Republicans in the March 5th Texas primaries. That approach has several problems. Supporters of Paxton have already been recruiting primary opponents against House Republicans who supported Paxton's impeachment. For legislative elections, the GOP primaries will be more about Paxton than education. House Republicans will have to thrive or fail on their impeachment votes. In his fiery remarks against the House impeachment process, Patrick has not excluded House members from his criticism. He could have isolated Phelan for his ire, which would have given House Republicans an escape route by blaming the Speaker for their impeachment votes. Phelan and House Republicans are in the same boat, so they have little choice but to fight together against Patrick and make the case to voters that they were justified in trying to oust Paxton. That means they will also stand together against a Senate-backed school choice plan, just as they did during the regular session. Texas voucher-like programs have been derailed by a coalition of rural and urban lawmakers who fear the impact of such proposals on public schools. With Democrats in the House united against vouchers, overwhelming opposition from the GOP is not needed to block a school choice bill. Abbott applies pressure. If Abbott does not get a voucher-like plan this year, it will be a political setback. The governor made school choice part of his 2023 legislative agenda. He's not giving up. On Friday, Abbott attended a Parents Matter tailgate at the First Baptist Academy versus Mercy Culture Prep football game in Dallas, where he pushed school choice. He will likely call two legislative sessions if necessary to get a bill to his desk. If that doesn't work, Abbott will take his case to March primary voters and try to unseat Republicans who didn't vote for a voucher-like plan. We will take it either way, in a special session or after an election, Abbott said last week in a tele town hall with Christian clergy. There are no easy choices for House Republicans who voted for impeachment. If they nix school choice, Abbott comes after them in the primary. And Paxton and his supporters are already planning their vengeance. The presidential race will get most of the 2024 GO primary headlines, but legislative races will feature the most intense fights. This is the Life Tributes column. Jennifer Lynn Magnan, July 12, 1980 to September 20, 2023. Jennifer Lynn Magnan went to be with her Lord and Savior Wednesday, September 20th at the age of 43. Jennifer was born in Reidsville, Wisconsin on July 12, 1980. She attended Montwood High School in El Paso and graduated from Robert E. Lee High School in Midland, class of 1998. Jennifer is survived by Nathan Magnan, her loving husband of 8 years. They were married in Midland on June 6, 2015. Jennifer is lovingly remembered by her children, Courtney Wilder and partner Andrew Stevens, along with their daughter, and Jennifer's granddaughter, Magnolia Ilana, her son, Dax Wilder, daughters Kendra Wilder, Faith Magnan, Elizabeth Magnan, and Kaylee Magnan, her parents, Donna and Billy Sturdivant, sisters and brothers-in-law, Bliss and Russell Lawrence, Jessica and Luke Raymond, Joanne and Andrew Artrip, Jennifer and Evan Dunkerson, and Kimberly Desjardins and her fiancé, Nick Traylor. Her stepmother, Joanne Wagner, stepsister, Nicole Stegman, and brother, Timothy Wagner, Jr. Grandparents through marriage, Teresa and Melvin Storch, her mother-in-law and father-in-law, Patricia and Robert Finch, and father-in-law, Richard Reed. Her brother-in-law, Devin Magnan, sisters-in-law, Lindsay Reed and Lacey Reed, along with 19 nieces and nephews. Jennifer is preceded in death by her stepson, Jackson Magnan, her father, Timothy Wagner, her paternal grandparents, John and Dorothy Wagner, and her maternal grandparents, Donald and Joanne Bubols. Services will be held at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel on Friday, September 29th at 2 p.m., officiated by Pastor Barry Evans. Burial to follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park Cemetery at 3 p.m. Visitation will be Thursday, September 28th at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home from 6 to 8 p.m. In lieu of flowers, the family kindly asks that you consider making a donation to the Orchard Church Children's Building Fund in honor of Jennifer. Donations can be made online at www.orchard-midland.com or mailed to the Orchard Church. P.O. Box 52367, Midland, Texas, 79710. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Roxy Gray, September 4, 1935 to September 21, 2023. Roxy was born September 4, 1935 in a little one-room farmhouse between Sudan and Muleshoe, Texas. Roxy was married in 1954 to Johnny Bud Gray and moved to Yuba City, California. Her son, Chip Gray, was born in 1956 in Fort Sumner. The Gray family moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico, where her daughter, Mickey, was born in 1964. She is survived by one son, Gary Chip Gray, from Unicoi, Tennessee, daughter Mickey Price and husband John from Midland. She has two precious grandchildren, Candace Couch and husband Josh, Gary Stout, two great-grandkids, Kylie and Roxy, three sisters, Pat, Dixie, and Debbie. She was preceded in death by her parents, Murray and Jimmy McGuire, and a brother, Tony, of Hesperia, California. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
This is Kim, and I'm reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, September 26th. Electric vehicle convoy coming to West Texas. The Texas Electric Transportation Resources Alliance, TEX-ETRA, Conservative Texans for Energy Innovation, Lightning E-Motors, and Texas Electric School Bus Project are bringing a convoy of electric vehicles, including an electric school bus, to San Angelo, Midland, and Lubbock, September 27th and 28th. The tour aims to inform West Texas leaders and stakeholders about available electric transportation resources and encourage applications for available grants and incentives. With each stop, local legislators, elected officials, utility companies, school district administrators, and community leaders are invited to delve into the abundance of funding that can enrich their hometowns and foster an electric transportation future in Texas. Bringing the EV Roadshow to San Angelo, Midland, Odessa, and Lubbock is a game changer for our electric transportation future, Tom Smitty Smith of the Texas Electric Transportation Resources Alliance said in a news release. We're showcasing a range of electric vehicles, including an electric school bus, and providing a roadmap for electrifying Texas. We aim to boost local economies, collaborate with community leaders, and maximize electric transportation benefits, sparking growth in West Texas communities. The schedule follows: San Angelo, 10 a.m. Wednesday, September 27th, Chamber of Commerce's Visitor Center, 418 West Avenue B, Midland, 3 p.m. Wednesday, September 27th, Electrifying America Charging Station, 200 I-20, Lubbock, 2 p.m. Thursday, September 28th, Civic Center, 1501 Mac Davis Lane. Restriction of Gulf lease sale blocked. API, T-Pro, major oil companies combine to secure court ruling. The American Petroleum Institute, the Texas Independent Producers and Royalty Owners Association, and two major oil companies have successfully opposed the Biden administration's late-in-the-day revocation of a substantial part of a 73-million-acre lease sale of oil drilling rights in the Gulf of Mexico, saying it wanted to protect the rights as well at the behest of the U.S. Bureau of Ocean Energy Management. The U.S. Interior Department had reneged on a long-advertised offer of offshore drilling by withdrawing 6 million acres from Lease Sale 261. But U.S. District Judge James Kane of New Orleans issued a preliminary injunction last Thursday, saying it was too late in the game for the government to back out. Judge Kane also said the government hadn't proved that drilling would endanger the whale. Now seeking a permanent injunction, the Chevron Corp, Shell Offshore Incorporated, API, and the state of Louisiana, backed by T-Pro, applauded the ruling. API Senior Vice President and General Counsel Ryan Myers said from Washington, D.C., that he was pleased that the court hit the brakes on the Biden administration's ill-conceived effort to restrict the American development of reliable, lower carbon energy in the Gulf of Mexico. This decision will allow Lease Sale 261 to move forward as directed by Congress in the Inflation Reduction Act, removing the unjustified restriction on vessel traffic imposed by the Department of the Interior and restoring more than 6 million acres to the sale, Myers said. This is an important step toward greater certainty for American energy workers, a more robust Gulf Coast economy, and a stronger future for U.S. security, energy security. T-Pro President Ed Longenecker said Monday that the Texas oil and gas industry is committed to responsible and sustainable energy production and transportation, working on a daily basis to help meet rising demand both at home and around the world. The decision to proceed with Lease Sale 261 as originally planned demonstrates the importance of sustained oil and gas production for both our economy and national energy security, Longenecker said from Austin. In the first half of the 2023, the U.S. led the world in LNG exports averaging 11.6 billion cubic feet per day and helping to meet the demand of our allies and trade partners around the world. This is only expected to increase in the coming months, and our Texas ports play a significant role in this effort as the second largest port area in the U.S., he said. The ports of Texas support over $449.6 billion in economic activity and transport 616.2 million tons of cargo, including energy, petrochemicals, and agriculture production, making the Texas Gulf Coast responsible for feeding and fueling the world. Additionally, these ports directly employ nearly 129,000 people and support 1.7 million additional jobs. Longenecker said the protection and preservation of the Rice's Whale is important to us, and oil and gas operators work diligently to limit the impact on operations on surrounding habitats and ecosystems. Through the use of innovative technologies, our industry is leveraging data analytics, automation, and artificial intelligence to drive more efficient and environmentally responsible operations, he said. West Texas Symphony presents Cirque Show. The West Texas Symphony has announced Cirque Musica Symphonic is coming to the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center at 7:30 p.m. on October 14th. This event will feature acrobatics and exciting visuals with your West Texas Symphony. As part of our Pops and Family Series subscription package, it's perfect for audiences of all ages. Don't wait to get your tickets as they are expected to sell out, said Ethan Wills, Executive Director of the West Texas Symphony, in a press release. The show will feature the world-renowned cast of Cirque Musica performing alongside the West Texas Symphony Orchestra, performing top repertoire from the classical canon, including Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto, Beethoven's Fifth, and more, as well as original music. Audiences will be amazed by today's greatest circus acrobats and aerialists in spellbinding grace and daredevil athleticism, plus enjoy hilarious hijinks and musical fun. The show blends today's greatest circus performers with the sensory majesty of the live symphony orchestra for a spectacular show, the release said. The West Texas Symphony is one of the largest professional performing arts organizations in West Texas, consisting of more than 70 professional musicians and performing 17 concerts plus music education events annually. Cirque Musica is produced by TCG Entertainment, the industry leader in the creation, production, booking, and marketing of live entertainment productions and events. TCG has over 20 years of experience in the entertainment industry, with a focus on symphonic, family music, and other live touring properties. Cirque Musica Symphonic is the must musical event of the season. Cirque Musica has performed with orchestras around the world and is a full sensory event for audiences, with the top circus artists from around the world and a live symphony orchestra all on stage. It really is a must-see event for the entire family, founder and president of the TCG Entertainment, Stephen Cook, said in the release. Cirque Music Symphonic is part of West Texas Symphony's Pops and Family Series, generously underwritten by the Wood Family Foundation. Tickets are $33 to $60 and can be purchased at WTXS.org or by calling 800-514-3849. All student tickets are $12 with a paying adult or valid college ID. A special discount is offered for groups of 10 or more. This concert is sponsored by Apira Abstract and Title, City of Odessa, Rexco Poly Supply, Carolina and Ronnie Keith, Cool Cats Air Conditioning, Dr. Charles and Melanie Lively, Stephen Palma, Ride at Home Midland, and Cotton Bledsoe, Ty, and Dawson, PC. For more information on this or other WTS events, visit WTXS.org. Neighborhood Watch Meeting. The Odessa Police Department's next Neighborhood Watch meeting is scheduled at 7 p.m. Tuesday, September 26th at the OPD Classroom at 205 North Grant Avenue. Odessa Animal Services will do a presentation about population and disease management, bite prevention, animal husbandry, and animal welfare laws. They will also be there to answer your questions. Visit fb.me/e/38ORXXJTE. Liberty Energy joins Permian Strategic Partnership as 25th member. The Permian Strategic Partnership, PSP, announced in a press release the addition of its 25th member, Liberty Energy, New York Stock Exchange, LBRT, a North American oil field services firm that offers one of the most innovative suites of completion services and technologies to onshore oil and natural gas exploration and production companies. Liberty Energy joins the PSP's coalition of leading energy companies and academic institutions collaboratively addressing and evolving challenges of the Permian Basin. Joining us as our 25th member, Liberty Energy represents PSP's belief in innovation and community focus, said Tracy Bentley, president and CEO of the PSP, in the release. Chris Wright and the Liberty Energy team are poised to energize and support our transformative efforts that will advance the PSP's mission and impact the lives of residents across the Permian Basin. Over the past 4.5 years, the PSP has been committed to its mission of strengthening and improve the quality of life for Permian Basin residents by partnering with federal, state, and local leaders to develop and implement strategic plans that foster superior schools, high-quality health care, safer roads, and a trained workforce. Through dedicated efforts across the region, the PSP has leveraged over $145 million in member company contributions into more than $1 billion in community investment throughout the region, the release said. We are honored to become a part of the PSP family, said Chris Wright, CEO of Liberty Energy, in the release. We look for groups truly making a difference that drive us closer to our ultimate goal of bettering human lives. The Liberty team is excited to join PSP's mission, meaningfully impacting this vibrant community where many members of our Liberty family work and live. Aphasia Center celebrating 20 years. 20 years ago, a vision was born out of the life-changing events of Chuck Matthews and daughter Catherine Shelley. Chuck suffered a stroke that led to a terrifying loss of self-expression known medically as aphasia. This communication disorder is a loss of language, speaking, reading and writing, and typically occurs as a result of a stroke or a traumatic brain injury. It knows no boundaries of age, gender, race, or profession, a press release said. After spending time in rehabilitation and making great progress toward healing, Catherine realized that soon funds would run out and they would now have nowhere else to turn for additional care. Wanting more for her father, Catherine mobilized and sought out fellow West Texans to share her vision for an aphasia center that would focus on not only functional communication, but also holistic care techniques. She met respected philanthropist and the late Nancy Anguish, who would become the center's first board president, as well as noted speech-language pathologist Beth Crawford and CNA Shun Kelly, plus other experts in healthcare, nonprofit governance, business, and community leadership. Each changed the future and blazed a trail toward the aphasia center of West Texas gaining its 501(c)(3) status in 2003, the release said. West Texans are known for taking care of their own. Each trailblazer committed to creating an ongoing community of support for individuals and their families affected by aphasia right here in West Texas. In 2003, the Aphasia Center of West Texas became the second independent aphasia center in the United States to open its doors. Since then, the commitment has never wavered, the release said. The Aphasia Center of West Texas continues to equip members with a vital aphasia education, adaptive communication strategies, and friends who walk in their shoes. With over 2,000 people served from 2003 to 2023, the Aphasia Center Board has committed that no one ever be turned away because of inability to pay for services. This devastating disorder often robs people of not only their ability to communicate, but also of their livelihoods. In response, the Aphasia Center established a sliding scale scholarship fund to help individuals needing financial assistance. Recently, inflation, increased demand for services, and higher expenses posed a challenge in providing services. Rising to the occasion at this pivotal time, the Aphasia Center is introducing the Now Speak Up Sustainers Circle. On October 1st, the Aphasia Center will launch the monthly donor program with a campaign to raise $20,000 in 20 days. Monthly donations help ensure that survivors coping with aphasia continue to receive the transformative education and support they need to live their best lives. To join this special group of aphasia supporters, visit aphasiawtx.org and click the donation button. Aphasia. Stroke is the number one cause of long-term disability in the U.S., with approximately 40% of stroke survivors acquiring aphasia, a chronic reduction in speaking, reading, and writing. Approximately one in every 250 people in the Permian Basin faces the challenge of aphasia. The Aphasia Center of West Texas empowers people with aphasia and their families with practical communication strategies, peer networking, and educational training so those coping with aphasia can live life to its fullest. The Aphasia Center of West Texas was the second independent aphasia center to open in the U.S. For more information, call 432-699-1261 or aphasiawtx.org.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.